Good morning. We continue our study in 1 Kings 22. We're going to take this narrative in two parts this week. Will be part one. There's several things I want to look at, particularly when you have the interaction between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. You got to love that name, right? Jehoshaphat, you know. And so, and then next week, we're going to deal with a passage which was a central passage to on my PhD thesis. Very intriguing from a theological point of view. But we'll wait till next week. There are always unseen forces working behind the scenes. You know, we're told that right in Ephesians chapter 6, which tells us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and thrones and dominions and wickedness in high places. And so a lot of this that we're talking about, we see behind the scenes. And the next passage we're going to deal with next week, it's one of the most intriguing passages in the scripture when it comes about things happening behind the scene. Because God is trying to find a way, and he already knows the way, right? But he's taken suggestions, we'll see that next week, from those gathered, the angels and demons, we're going to talk about that, who is going to get Ahab to go out to battle so he might die. And this discussion in heaven, we're going to talk about that. Was that metaphorical or was that real stuff? That's a very tough one, you know. That, as a matter of fact, I spent probably 100 pages in my... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just to think about this. But we do see that right in Job 1, where Satan's talking to God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, and we see that. Matter of fact, it's actually a partial quote that picks up in 1 Peter 5:8, right? Where have you been? Well, just running what? To and fro on the earth. And of course, Peter adds what? It's like a roaring lion to seek and who I may devour, right? And so we're going to talk about this whole spiritual warfare. Peretti tries to pick that up in his books, Piercing the Darkness, and that present darkness. And but we never know what's happening behind the scenes, right? But there's two things you have to realize: that greater is he that's in you that's he, and he's in the world. And secondly, even Satan could not force you to do anything against your will, right? I mean, Eve had to actually cooperate, you know, to fall. You know, Lucifer, Satan could not force her to do that. So the whole concept of how do you battle against the forces of darkness is stay close to the Lord, right? And be very aware spiritually. So we pick up this narrative in chapter 22. In verse 1, he says, "And now 3 years passed without a war between Syria and Israel. And then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And when the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, oh, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into your hands, the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, I love this. He says, Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now, Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said thus to the Lord, says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he says, I saw all of Israel scattered on the mountains as a sheep and who have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you? He would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now we'll pick up this second part, which is very intriguing because we look into heaven next week. I want you to notice several things as we begin this narrative. Number one, there have been 3 years of peace between Syria and Israel. I mean, that's important to note, is the fact that after the second time Israel defeated Syria, and that Ahab spared the life of Ben-Hadad against the will of the Lord, that there hadn't been any war. Syria had been the aggressor those two times. Syria gave no provocation for a fight. Now, King Jehoshaphat of Judah had came up to visit Ahab. By the way, that probably wasn't a good idea, because Jehoshaphat is a what? Is a righteous king, according to scriptures. We're going to talk about him later on. And Ahab is a wicked king. And so Jehoshaphat was known as a righteous king, and so he comes up, and he wanted peaceful relationships, you know, with particularly with Israel to the north. This is kind of interesting. Jehoshaphat has this character flaw. He's kind of an appeaser. We see him twice going to war with the king of Israel and twice getting in trouble. Elisha has to bail him out one time, and we're going to see that later on. But Jehoshaphat is a righteous king, but he is also one who kind of appeases. And so since Ahab was a wicked king, Jehoshaphat needed to be cautious around him. Jehoshaphat's accommodating character left him with his guard down. He wanted to say, oh, yeah, you know, everything's fine, everything's. And by the way, we've run across that problem in social issues where we've tried to combine with churches who don't really follow the word of God, but it's for social issues. And we got burned several times doing that. And so be not unequally yoked. I remember one time we were against a county council bill which says in hiring practice you cannot discriminate against, of course, race, creed, all this stuff. And one of it is against religion. I said, well, wait a minute. We can't hire people that we believe are sinning. We can't hire homosexuals, stuff like that. So we're testifying. Well, the Roman Catholics were there testifying, and then that's at the time it broke loose about the pedophiles and the priests and stuff, and they backed away. I said, wait a minute, you guys were with us. And he says, well, we got to do what Rome tells us to do. And so you got to be careful, right? I mean, if you don't stand on principles, you don't stand at all, right? And so we get left holding the bag like that. And so, praise God, he's the one in charge, right? And so Jehoshaphat had to be careful. Now, Ramoth-Gilead is on the other side of the Jordan. If you had a map in front of you, you have Israel, you know, and Judah on the west of the Jordan. Then you have the places where Gad, Reuben, and one half of Manasseh settled in the east of Jordan. That whole area became known as Gilead, okay? Because the main mountain ridge there is Mount Gilead. And so that whole area became known as Gilead. And so the Ramoth-Gilead means the heights of Gilead. Ramoth means heights, and then Gilead, the heights of Gilead. It was, by the way, Ramoth-Gilead was an important city in the Book of Leviticus, because it was one of the six cities, which was a city of refuge. So now you have one of the cities of refuge. It's not even in the hands of Israel anymore. And that's where someone, if they, you know, killed someone, could run there until his case was solved, so the revenger of blood could not get to him. That was Ramoth-Gilead. And so it was apparently had been taken by Syria. And when Ben-Hadad promised to give back the cities that his father had taken from Israel, apparently this was not one of them. And so it's still in the hands of Syria, and that kind of irked Ahab, and it bothered him. Ahab figured that if he'd fight Syria again, he just didn't have the troops to do it. But here was the king of Judah. He said, aha, well, maybe the combination of Israel and Judah can take him. So Jehoshaphat's in there, and he's buttering Jehoshaphat up. And Ahab says, oh, by the way, isn't it a shame that Ramoth-Gilead is in the hands of the Syrian? I mean, this is one of our major cities, right? This is one of the six cities of refuge. There were three on the east of the Jordan, and there were three on the west of the Jordan. And this was one of them. It's the northernmost one in the east of the Jordan. And so he said, that belongs, now notice how clever he is. That belongs to us. What do you mean us? I mean, if they took the city, it would go over with Israel, but it wouldn't go to Judah. So he said, and so he's trying to instill the idea of patriotism, right? That this belonged to the nation of Israel, okay? And so we need to go and take it back. And so Judah would not receive Ramoth-Gilead. Israel would. Samaria would. By the way, some of your Bibles you'll find, it's also called Mizpah. There's several towns in Israel called Mizpah. Mizpah means watchtower. And matter of fact, one of the predictions about Bethlehem is talks about the Mizpah of Bethlehem, which is Mizpah means the watchtower. The watchtower was not for enemies. The watchtower was what they'd built around around a sheep's pen, and they'll watch out for what? Yeah, wolves and coyotes and hyenas and jackals and anything that would come. And the large cats were still around there. Leopards were still around there. Lions were still around there. By the way, also bears. You know, the Syrian bear weighs about 500 pounds, which is bigger than our black bear. So anyway, this is not a zoology lesson here. But so if we retake it, see, then that will restore one of our cities of refuge. Ahab says, now I've hesitated to go and retake it from Syria. He doesn't say, I just don't have the muscles to do that. He said, but you and I combined, will you join me in this battle? You know, because Ahab figures if we had both armies, we'll be able to take this. And Ahab, by the way, this is one thing I find intriguing about this whole thing. What did Ahab offer Jehoshaphat in return? Nothing. I mean, Jehoshaphat doesn't say, well, wait a minute. I'm going to risk my troops to take this. What am I getting out of this? He's not offering anything in return. You know, this would go over to the northern kingdom. And so Jehoshaphat wants to be obliging. So he immediately says, by the way, be careful about a quick answer, right? He said, oh, my people are your people, and you know, my horses are your horses, and my chariots are your horses. We're all one. We're all in this together. Then he had second thoughts. Wait a minute. Maybe better ask the Lord, right? Maybe better inquire of the Lord. By the way, he should have inquired of the Lord first, before he made any commitments. You know, it's always good to check with the Lord first, right? And so, I mean, Joshua got burned on that, right? He makes a deal with the Gibeonites, even though the Gibeonites were in the land, were supposed to be destroyed. And it says there, Joshua chapter 6, he says, and he did not what? Inquire of the Lord and ask the Lord about this, okay? And so he has second thoughts. He says, well, you know, maybe we better check the prophets. Oh, okay. Ahab says, gather the prophets together. There's 400 prophets. By the way, you never see that in the Lord's prophets, right? You don't have this massive stadium full of prophets, you know. And so, matter of fact, the only time I could think of that you even have two prophets together is Elijah and Elisha for that short period of time. I mean, they're usually one prophet over here, and one prophet over here, and one prophet over there. And so here we have Joshua, you know, Jehoshaphat saying, listen, let's ask for the prophet of God. And 400 prophets show up, and they start, oh, yes, the Lord's going to prosper you, and you're going to take Ramoth-Gilead, and the Lord said, go up. And Joshua's thinking, Jehoshaphat's thinking, I don't think these are prophets of God. These are prophets of who? Prophets of Baal. These are pagan prophets. They have nothing to do with God. And so Jehoshaphat said, is there a prophet of the Lord still around? Now, this I find also intriguing. It's not Elijah. Elijah's still around, but apparently the one that God had stationed there to, you know, kind of be a thorn in Ahab's side is this Micaiah guy. This is the first time we see him. It's also the last time we see him, you know. So he's called forward, and, well, this is one guy, but he always does what? He always prophesies evil against me. Well, that's because you're an evil man. Do you think God is going to prophesy good for you if you're an evil man? He said, hey, I don't like him. Matter of fact, what does he say? I hate him. Because every time I call him, he just prophesies evil against me. And so, Jehoshaphat said, don't let the king say so. Well, yeah, it's true. But let's call him. So, Jehoshaphat says, let's call this Micaiah guy, Zedekiah. not the Zedekiah that's in the scriptures, who wrote a book. But Zedekiah fetches Micaiah and says, "Now listen, listen. You know," he says, "all the other prophets are prophesying good, encouraging the king. Now I want you to do the same thing." Guy says the same thing Balaam told Balak, right? He says, "All I can speak is what? Whatever the Lord tells me to speak." I mean, these are not things that I have the power over. Whatever God tells me to say, that's what I'm going to say. And so so he ends up bringing them there. By the way, you can tell Zedekiah is very foreboding, right? Like, this is probably not going to be very good. I mean, you know, I know this Micaiah, the king of Micaiah, aren't quite getting along. And so Ahab asked if they should attack Ramoth-Gilead. Now, look at how the scene plays out. He said, "Listen, oh, yes, go up and attack, and you will surely prosper." And, well, Ahab could tell he's being sarcastic, right? You know, that he's pulling his chain. He said, "Listen, didn't I tell you, didn't I make you swear to only tell me what the Lord tells?" Now, what's this tell you about Ahab? He knows, right? He knows it's not going to be a good prophet. He knows he's a wicked guy. And so Micaiah said, "Oh, just go up and prosper." Ahab says, "I want you to tell me the truth. What does the Lord say?" So Ahab, now, by the way, to me, one of the most intriguing parts, we're going to talk about this next week, one of the most intriguing parts of this whole narrative is this. God tells him exactly what's going to happen, and he blows right through it anyway. I mean, has anything that God had told Ahab not come true? I mean, Ahab is told, "Well, here's what I saw. I saw Israel scattered amongst the mountains and over the fields because they had no master," which means the master was what? The master was dead. Ahab was dead. He said, "I just saw him scattered." And he proceeds to give a warning, and we're going to talk about this warning next week. And he tells them exactly what's going to happen. Now, I want you to note, we quite often don't think about this when we read the scriptures, but most of the time, when evil comes upon a person, there's already been a warning. It already says, God has already told them, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. And so the warning's already been given. Matter of fact, not only is the warning given, as we're going to see in the narrative next week, is the fact that he describes exactly how the battle's going to go. He describes exactly, remember what Elijah says on the field that you killed Naboth? That's where the dogs are going to lick your blood? He already told them that. And so Ahab's going to blow right through this warning because, you know, he wants to take Ramoth-Gilead. He doesn't want to believe this. Now, there's three things I want to mention as we close here before our discussion. Number one, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask God, right? Secondly, if you want to know the truth, commit in your heart to follow the truth when you hear it. It's no use to hear the truth if you're not going to what? Follow the truth. And thirdly, if you don't follow the truth, don't be surprised at the consequences, right? The number one thing I do when I bring people to counseling and say, "Now, before, I want you to make a commitment that whatever the Lord says in His Word, you're going to follow. If not, this is a waste of time. I'm not here as a sounding board. I'm not here just to listen to, you know, this person's done this bad to me, this person. Whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to follow." Counseling doesn't work unless you make the commitment to follow the truth. And so Ahab asked for the truth. He's given the truth exactly up front, but he's not going to follow it. So why ask? We see that in the book of Jeremiah. Zedekiah keeps calling Jeremiah back, Jeremiah back, Jeremiah, to tell him the truth. He keeps telling the same thing, what? Over and over again. Zedekiah doesn't follow. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a discussion here. Intriguing passage. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking at your word. And Lord, that we see Ahab, who represents so many evil people and evil men, and yet he asked for the truth because Jehoshaphat wanted to hear the truth, and he doesn't desire to follow the truth. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you just help us to understand these things, that when you show us the truth, that we will indeed follow the truth, and that the truth, according to what the Lord says, will set us free. The Heavenly Father, just bless our discussion time at this time. Through us, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.